Because I won't remember to ask this at any other time. Have we stopped grinding up the food scraps for compost? Mm-hmm. We still do that? Is that what you were doing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was just curious if that was still happening. Well, can you see why people less disciplined than ourselves could overindulge on a day like
this? Uh-huh.
Why? I certainly am filled with sympathy.
Filled being the operative.
Yes. Uh huh. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very tempting. Yeah.
Well, and I have had the experience of being actually, how can you OD on something so healthy?
Uh huh.
And you can.
Yes. And you can. Yes. Yes. You absolutely can. Uh huh. That's good.
It's very good. Mm.
And is it?
Well, and then Jen.
Yes. I just wanted to say thank you for that meal.
Spread.
so spread. That was so gorgeously and you could tell lovingly made. And I could see a lot of fun went into it. And just for the opportunity of being here, you know, with the people I love so much, and for the place that I love so much, and being able to clean up that I love so much in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So it's just a wonderful opportunity, and to be able to do it on Thanksgiving is just kind of a, you know, double whammy kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. It's like
shirt sleeve weather, almost. Yeah. I came in here and said, you need to bring some of that shirt sleeve inside.
But, it's balmy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, lots to be grateful for and lots to...
Don't think global warming.
Yeah.
But just think...
No. I'm just grateful
lovely,
for the day.
Grateful for the day
and not why, knowing why
else.
It's here, yeah. And then just so, you know, knowing that gratitude and that the joy and everything that I feel is helping to fill that up into the universe, you know, that it's life, experiencing life, and, you know, knowing that that has to have some good effect on even for the people that don't have, you know, as much or what have the opportunity to have that are out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, thanks.
Thank you. Jen?
Well, as Phil was talking, what dropped in was, you know, you built us a monastery to practice. It's the least we can do is fix you lunch. I mean, you know, just the fun and the love that went into it. And I always picture that with the building. You know, when I see out at the West End, those tampers, you know, I'd see the pictures or the forms for the arches or the the pictures of the giant cement trucks, you know, to pour the archway things or the, you know, just, wow.
We were young and strong. That's all I can tell you.
And just that place of, I don't know how to say it, but I project, you can't think ahead to, okay, we're going to have this. I mean, I guess you can. You have the vision comes, but then it's a moment by moment thing. Because I've seen in much smaller ways for myself that the way that it happens is moment by moment. Yes. And so conditioning looking out there is going to be oh my God, mm-hmm. forget it, no way.
Well, it takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah.
And it misses the point.
Yeah.
So it's a bad deal all the way around.
Yeah.
As you say that, I'm aware that I would wish if I had a Thanksgiving wish and hope, I know this is probably not the season for that, but anyway, it would be that people have the same passion for practice. Mm. 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 Because it's true. I mean, we got some people in this very room who were wielding the tampers and that sort of thing. And, I mean, it was it was back-breaking work. Uh-huh. It was insane. It was, you know, and even when we got to the kitchen tents and that stuff, it was just crazy. Mm-hmm. And yet, there was so much passion for practice mm-hmm. that it, I mean, nobody could imagine doing anything else. Mm-hmm. What else would you, yeah. what else would you want to do except yeah. practice?
Mm-hmm. You know, and as you say that, it reminds me of a conversation we had recently in the context of another retreat that we do, and people expressing the extraordinary gratitude of working together within the privileged environment. Mm-hmm. And all the different forms that the privileged environment takes. You know, I'm guessing that when you were putting up the kitchen tent, there was some talking back and forth. Okay, walk over there. You know, just like when we were putting in the water tanks or the whatever. But mm-hmm. it's still the privileged environment.
That's right. Yeah, we don't go over and pop a cold one and light up and right. lean against a tree and shoot the breeze.
And right. argue because, no, we're going to do it this way. Right. And no, we're going to do it that way. And no, we're going to...
Yeah.
It's so amazing. So yeah, just in terms of the meal, wow, just incredible. The a memory.
And if I can,
yes,
Jen,
please,
just
absolutely.
If I may, of course I can. If I may,
you are,
and I am. You know, that passion for practice can take the form of, you know, when we were here doing this, there were tons of people who came through. Mm. We had one on Tuesday night, open air, by the way, who was here in 2005, which is very fun. But anyway, lots and lots and lots of people coming through. And it wasn't, let's see, if she hears this, I'm not talking about her. It didn't always help.
Right.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's that many more people to kind of herd around and round up. And but that was the point of what we were doing.
Exactly.
We were in a place of practice to practice, and everybody who came and wanted to practice, it was just a thrill to have them here.
Yes.
And so to carry on with that attitude of mind for practice, that everything we do, as Phil is saying, is with that feeling that we are making the best contribution we can make to the world, to the universe, and that we can do it in that way by just being a magnet for people who want to practice. You know, we hear it, I do anyway, people will, somebody was just talking about it in the last week, about this being such a kind practice, and hearing the kindness and feeling the kindness, and it doesn't happen outside the privileged environment. It's not like, you know, we're having sleepovers or you know, cheese and wine parties, but the kindness is there, the compassion is there, and the welcoming is there, so that people know they can, you know, we don't pretend that we're doing something they're not, or that they're doing something we're not. You know, we're all practicing the very best we can wherever we are with whatever we've got, and to have people feel welcomed into that environment, I think is the best we have to offer. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as far as I know, we don't have any plans of building another rammed earth building. We probably don't need to. But whatever we're doing, if we could do it with the same attitude of mind, I think it would show in the way that people always talk about coming onto this property and just going, oh, this is a special place. Mm-hmm. And walking into this room and realizing what a special place this is. Mm-hmm. But every part of this can be that same special place if that's the attitude of mind and heart that we bring to what we're doing, and we realize we're doing it as service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're doing it for... Yes, we're the first we're the first to benefit, but we're doing it for everyone who's looking for a practice that will welcome them and give them the tools that they need to end suffering. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know, as you say that, it reminds me of a realization I had recently after a very inspiring conversation we had here at the monastery, where I got it that, say, the schedule ends and I go back to my hermitage, and recording and listening and sitting and those things are service, in the sense of I so want to be of service in the way that you're talking about, and those are the things that are required to nurture that.
Stephen Covey used to talk about sharpening the saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
And that's it.
Exactly.
I'm tuning the instrument.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an instrument of peace, and I'm tuning it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just so interesting to watch that. I suppose you could call it both an undulation and a calibration, but that place of losing sight of that, and even in it can look similar, even if I'm not really seeing it, but sliding off into, well, how do I want to spend my time?
Yes.
What do I want to do? Mm-hmm. And it's a miserable place, even on tiny little levels. It doesn't seem like it. But then when you realize it, it's, I don't want to spend any time there.
Yes, well, and it's such a razor's edge.
Yes, exactly.
Because we also don't want to lose sight of the fact that sometimes it's God's will that we just take a walk in the beautiful nature.
Exactly.
So not to feel like, not to slide over into that, I've got to watch myself.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I'm going to slip into ego here, and I'm going to do...
Exactly, which is ego.
Which is ego,
yeah,
right?
We were talking about that before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, excuse me. So, yeah, realizing that, for me anyway, it's not so much the specifics of what I'm doing, but it's how I'm doing it.
Exactly.
It's the attitude of mind and heart with which I'm doing it that makes all the difference. Is from the outside, it could look like anything to anybody, whatever they were projecting onto it.
Yeah.
But it's my practice to know for myself, to the best of my ability, what's motivating me to be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. Because just like you said, really, truly, excuse me, anything could be that service, going for the walk, whatever it is.
Well, the Bodhisattva story of the guy who goes and sits on a bar stool.
I don't remember that.
Oh, it's a big Bodhisattva story. I don't know how you missed it. I might have made it up. and it could have happened right now. but anyway, the way I heard the story is that every evening, there he was, sitting on a bar stool, drinking a beer. Mm-hmm. And he just was a fixture in the place. And everybody, whenever they had a problem, whenever they were upset about something, whenever they were having a hard time, whenever they were suffering, they'd go there and they'd know he was there, and they'd talk to him, and they'd always feel better. Mm-hmm. They'd always get a little something, some encouragement or some perspective, and they'd go back to their life. And
so
turns out he was a Bodhisattva.
It's so good. Oh, I just love it.
But the judgments, of course, would be,
right.
I mean, what kind of a life is that? The guy's sitting in a bar every night. Talking to a bunch of drunks?
And I mean,
that's not spiritual.
But truly, like, in that, he's not getting anything from that. He's not, you know, there's no, like, I'm going to be the just...
No, because that wouldn't work, right? You know, sitting there in your bar stool, I'm a Bodhisattva. No, you're delusional.
Yeah, exactly. But just quickly, going back to the food.
It's your turn, remember?
Oh, right.
Don't talk before lunch. You get to talk now. Just do whatever we're doing over here.
I'll just keep talking.
Yeah, you just keep talking.
It's like that family member.
Call you Uncle Bill.
But I had this memory drop in of when we did a retreat one year in Italy, and the land of good food. Wow. And there was a woman on the retreat with us who she loved food. She was very, I don't know if she cooked or what, but anyway, So she would, we'd be at meals and she would give these suggestions. Oh, take the olive and put it with this cheese and then add the hummus. And we'd all try that. And I just had that experience with the meals.
The bodhisattva of food.
Yeah, exactly. It's extraordinary how the tastes change when they combine. It's a completely different thing to eat this with this. And it's just so much fun to just play with the incredible abundance mm-hmm. and variety of life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, instead of having an idea about how things should be. Mm-hmm. The world has suffered enough with people's right. ideas of what spirituality should be or what religion should be or, yeah. God help us all, what God wants.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh,
God. Was I reading about that here? Mm-hmm. Driving behind the person with the bumper sticker around the... I don't remember if it was a bumper sticker. I think it was around the license plate. But it was a whole teachings on what God wants for people.
I do remember you saying that.
And I thought,
knowing that, that's incredible.
Imagine knowing that!
Wow!
How lucky is that?
Yeah.
And then followed right by, how incredibly sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, appallingly, horrifyingly sad that people actually believe they know what God wants.
Yeah.
That is just staggering.
It is.
So I don't think we want to do that.
Yeah. I don't.
No. To the best of our ability, to live in, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm open to finding out, mm-hmm. and I trust that I'm being guided to awakening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything in this life that wishes me ill, mm-hmm. anything that is real.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to be afraid of anything.
Right. Exactly so. Exactly so. Gosh, it's that place where I often see it as whatever's going on here is the portal. At that, okay, there's something going on, okay, but it can't be that there's something wrong.
Right. Right. That's not the answer.
Right.
So what else might it be?
What?
Yeah.
And for me, that's kind of... If I can get there, that's an invitation to just get quiet and to just see what. And there's huge insight beyond that in some sort of way, because then there's an acceptance that whatever's going on is going on. There's a not taking it personally. And then that feels like those are the gates to open just all these insights into what actually is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, people better speak before siesta time. Kids, how it is.
Well, I wanted to express my gratitude for the beautiful meal today, too. I just was...
That you didn't have to cook.
Nothing, yeah.
Isn't that, I mean, that's really, that's as good
that's
as it gets.
That's amazing, yeah, totally. Because if I had to cook it, it wouldn't be good.
Yeah, me too, Kim. I'm right there. Yeah, it wouldn't have been that good. And but I also like that it didn't have to pay for it. You know, can you imagine if you went out to a restaurant and wanted to purchase that meal?
Mm. Yeah, well, I was just taken by...
Of course, you do pay for it, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, direct, yeah.
Yeah. It's a place of generosity and abundance, and that's what I was aware of when I was looking at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
How many colors were there? How many textures? And then when I started eating all the different flavors, I just felt like immersed in abundance.
You know, if we put this recording out, maybe next year we'll have to be turning people away because they'll say, "Now, why would I want to spend the holidays with Uncle Bill? I could go to the monastery and eat all this fabulous food and be in silence and beauty." And
I think I must have finally worn out that T-shirt we had that one year we were in. That
I survived the Thanksgiving.
Yes, because it was pouring rain and we were paddling from the hut up to the tent to eat, and we were all eating in this dark tent. There was nowhere to hang the raincoats, so they were just all inside dripping. And yeah, that was a good t-shirt. That was a good one. I can't remember seeing it for a while now. So
I think I have mine somewhere. I'm gonna try to find it because I think I put it away. Because
so
I, yeah,
talented, yeah. Pieces, really,
yeah,
I have mine.
I made somewhere because I've had it. I had it a really long time, and I just haven't seen it.
Oh my God,
recently.
That was. I mean, there was nothing here, so it was a really long time ago.
Right, no building. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the hut. That's where we meditated.
Mm-hmm. And the kitchen.
And the kitchen tent. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
kitchen.
Dining room
tent.
And mouse residence.
Right. Mouse house.
Upstairs and downstairs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they usually didn't come out and mess with our food at all. They you know,
they're very polite.
They were very
kept
polite.
Kept a privileged environment.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, deep gratitude to be here today on this special day and that special meal and with all these special people. I feel so grateful.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you were saying that, I thought I remember the old cigarette commercial when there were commercials for cigarettes on television.
Yes, right.
We've come a long way, baby.
Yeah.
We really have, because we no longer have cigarette commercials on.
I'm remembering as you were talking about going back when we're building the building, that every time we got one building, sort of one of these sections of this building, sort of at least semi up, it became
right.
The meditation hall was in the dining hall, and then it
we had it in the
dorm at one point. So we would just use the rooms as they at least had some form of shelter. Well, this was the shop for a while.
Long time. This is where Tom built all of the windows and doors.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's right.
So just so much is coming up as I sit and listen to everything. And the first wave was the sense of belonging to an unfolding.
Yes.
Mm. You know, that I wasn't there when the building was up. Mm. There's no sense of not belonging to the progression of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking about it. I was aware peripherally of, you know, someone sitting right next to that, or on this chair next to the pond. And you know, in the unfolding that was for me, June 18th, 2010, I was sitting on that particular chair in front of this Mexican primrose, this one little primrose that was coming out through the rock and getting it that there was nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, that this is this whole, it feels like something so permanent, but it's such a process.
Yes.
It's everyone's process of coming to that awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And to just be part of the rhythm of that, that sense of continuity is just, it brings tears to my eyes. Mm-hmm. Because so much of the human experience is a sense of separation. But to feel ourselves as part of the belonging cycle, like every one of us on the same trajectory in this place in this time, our contribution playing the role that is being asked of us to play,
and as you know, we usually kind of touch into that with precepts, you know, that feeling of that people have just been doing this forever in the same way, just making whatever contribution and offering their part for whoever is coming next, not with any particular thought of anybody coming next, but just then somebody comes along and it just
sort of a cosmic cycle of belonging. You know, and we join in, and then we
play
move
our
out.
Part and,
and move
yeah.
up. Which sort of brings me to the second theme that was arising, because I began today with someone looking at transience, and that too, that for me produces the most ego fear, the sense of impermanence, and watching how, if I'm in that cycle of the unfolding of belonging, transience is not scary.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm outside looking at transience and experiencing it from a place of separation,
mm-hmm.
how scary it is.
Yeah, but trying to cling to this.
That's right.
Then that movement is not
yes.
comforting.
Well, and that that the there are so many aspects of that that I was present to today, which is, I don't know, for years and years and years, it was, I so want to eat that chocolate cake. I so want to eat that chocolate cake. I so...
Not a piece of that chocolate cake.
No, I want to eat
that
chocolate cake.
Chocolate
cake. Right, or that mashed potato, or whatever it was, mm-hmm. that every time I came to the Thanksgiving table, mm-hmm. ever since I have come to Thanksgiving table, anywhere, it's, I can't eat that. I should not eat that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not supposed to eat that.
I'll pay a price for eating that.
I will pay a price for eating that,
mm-hmm.
and I do, on many levels.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to walk up to the table and go, I have no desire to eat that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was nothing in me. There were no voices. There was no conditioning. Nothing. No, that there is a way in which training really, really concentrates the desire for one thing and one thing only.
Mm-hmm.
And to be in the same place, tracking desire over time, really shows how
mm-hmm.
much practice weans us off of the desire for so many things
mm-hmm.
and focuses that desire on the one thing we came here to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so
mm-hmm.
grateful to see that.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't me. It was this place, this practice environment, this groove of life that has worn away so much that when I walked up to the chocolate cake, there was the ability to take one quarter of it.
The cake or a piece?
Or a piece of cake.
just checking.
And walk away. You know,
mm-hmm.
I just, it was just the most liberating feeling, not just to be free of the addiction of chocolate, but free of addiction,
mm-hmm.
of desire.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
there the impermanence is so wonderful, right? That
mm-hmm.
the acknowledgement of that is just
a particular
so
desire
yes.
is transient.
Yes, that desire is transient.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's such a magnificent thing
mm-hmm.
that it can be worn away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and that what I love about what you're saying is that transient is bad. That's how ego,
mm-hmm.
oh, well, it's all passing and soon it'll be over and then what's going to happen? You know, that's a terrible thing. But then when you look at it from the perspective of that same process ends suffering.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, and I was looking at also it with someone who was having transience in the form of death,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, I completely lost. Because it's for me personally, but I'm assuming it's ego, so it's pretty universal, where it talks to you about the sameness of everything. Right? I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to go have breakfast, I'm going to go work meditation, clean up after lunch, do the dishes, do the laundry. And it's like there's a monotony that it keeps pointing to in existence. And yet,
as that, the flip side of,
but you're going to die, it's going to be over.
And it, to me, it's that razor's edge of recognizing that I can stay in the impermanence, that the only way to live life is to be in that moment of arising and falling, mm-hmm. because otherwise I'm either in a conversation of this, the boredom of the sameness, or in an absolute paralyzed fear of loss. Mm-hmm. And that moment of presence is it's, the yeah, anguish.
Yeah, it's going to change or it's okay. not. Oh, God.
Yeah. On both levels. And to and we were having, I was looking at this with somebody, and it's that there's an exquisite beauty that is the experience of the intensity of aliveness to know the loss, not to cling, mm-hmm. to know the passing, and not to avoid the avoid the anguish of it. Mm-hmm. All of those four trembling in the moment of mm-hmm. the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's the beauty of the moment.
It's the beauty of living.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it is living.
Yes, it
in
is
In capital letters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's feeling alive.
Yeah. And all those other things are making sure that we don't feel alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which to me brings me to the last point that was arising as a theme. Is you said, you know, I hope we have a passion for this practice. And passion has always been a scary word for me. Not I've always admired people of passion and felt like I didn't have that, right? That is not, I don't think anyone who ever knew me would say I was passionate. At least I certainly wouldn't. Doesn't matter what anyone else said.
Yeah.
But the...
You would just... probably thought they were wrong if they thought yeah, that. That's how we deal with people who have an opinion of us that's different from our own.
Yes, exactly. But the, but what I was... Because, I mean, I can't imagine myself pounding a bunch of... What are they called? Tappers? Uh-huh. I just can't... I just can't. You know? I just... Do I have that? That's the question that conditioning would ask is, do you have that level of... of commitment, and the thing that dropped in for me is the thing about love, you know. And you were talking about kindness, and I'm gonna get emotional. So I was dealing with an insurance agent, and after a long time, she just sent me this little note that says, "It was such a pleasure working with you." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was one of those places where I went, that one little note mm-hmm. reflected for me practice. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the passion, which is to be able to show up in pure kindness mm-hmm. no matter what. Mm-hmm. And in such a way that someone who isn't in practice, I mean, someone can pick up on it on the level of an interaction.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know? I would bet this person working for an insurance company meets a lot of people who are not kind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you probably stood out like a shining beacon. There was probably nothing subtle about it. Yeah? And so to see that, yes, as the same passion, the same commitment that would have people pounding nails or digging ditches or whatever it is, that it's the same commitment to that larger than ourselves. Yes. That has us continue to show up.
And the point I think that was so clear to me is the personality has absolutely no idea about how life shows up. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think was the takeaway, which is all of this idea of what it feels like to love, to be passionate, to be engaged, to be involved, to be practicing are all delusional. You know,
they're all ideas.
Yeah. There's a sense of wisdom and clarity and grace and that when we're not identified, that is there, that shows up in these walls of all of these people who've been here, that I resonate with as belonging to, that is what is showing up to wake up.
Yes.
Right? It's yes. not. And so to judge that, have an opinion about
it. Yeah, I don't know where this happened. It must have been on Project Joy. And maybe other people can help me with it. But the comment that was made, the clarity that was made, was that ego doesn't understand that. Mm-hmm. So the argument for not looking to ego mm-hmm. for opinions about these kinds of things is it literally has no idea. It's not like it knows and it's just not telling you. Right? You're talking about unconditional love. Well, it might want to talk to you about how you're not being that way, but it wouldn't know if you were or you weren't.
Well, its job
is to say you're not being that way.
And the point of it is that it always is always pointing to the negative of something.
Yes.
Which implies it knows, because that's what we're programmed to. But it's actually offering its lack of knowing.
Yes.
Yes. Right? In a mm-hmm. negative statement, that's what a negative statement
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to listen to a voice say, well, you know, all these people are passionate, but you're not passionate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't have that level of commitment.
Yeah, really, how would you possibly know that? You don't know what passion is, you don't know what commitment is, you just don't
in the scheme of the
program there.
Of the impermanence of it and the transiency of it and the how life is animating,
yeah.
It's such an irrelevant question.
Yes.
It's not passion that's gonna get you to be kind. Or, you know, there's nothing that, there's no one to be kind.
Yes, yes. So if you want to be kind, be kind. Yeah. Don't talk about somebody who is or isn't kind.
Yeah.
With a voice in your head.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it was a wonderful Thanksgiving.
big days. Rebecca.
Well, I too am still really on that, what you said about with the wish to be passionate about practice, that struck me too. And I've been looking at very similarly what was just talked about, I think. And the way that it's been coming through for me is it feels like ego has been very successful to keep me disconnected or blind to or oblivious of any kind of thing that someone would call passion. And had me keep looking for my passion, thinking it was in some kind of content, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm passionate about X or Y. No, that's not, well,
you know. Yeah, it was for a while.
Yeah, for a while, yeah, right.
Yeah, not.
And then, I think this is what for me is the experience of getting out of the conversation is the attention has just been resting on what I've actually done in my life, what's actually happened, and when to just turn the quarter of an inch to seeing that instead of what the whole conversation is in that way has revealed just kind of irrefutable evidence of passion for practice. Mm-hmm.
Could go by unnoticed.
Oh, okay.
Especially if what you're supposed to be doing is finding the thing the content that yeah. you're passionate about, and all the time the passion was for the process that was animating the whole thing.
Yes, the passion was for the process. Mm-hmm. You know, and even even hearing the old stories about the buildings and all of that, I mean, I came in pretty early, you know, but the buildings were standing, but that was about kind of where it was. And I can feel that same kind of karmic kick in for, well, then now what? As if the what is a something, mm-hmm. instead of the passion for practice. And all of its manifestations, like, you know, just the scenes have been dropping in. Like, I remember early on when I found practice, going to my boss, screwing up all my courage, going to my boss to ask for a raise so that I could afford to come on retreats 2 or 3 times a year, you know? And getting my family's buy-in on that, you know, telling them, okay, this is important to me, you know, and laying the groundwork to have the space to do that, and moving here, for God's sake, you know, I mean, just all of these really tangible things that to an outside observer, to a, you know, to take just a bird's eye view, it would be...
To somebody not listening to your karma.
Yes, yes.
That would be clear.
Yes. I would even say, like, you know, imagine if somebody were having a memorial at my funeral, what would they say? Well, she gave her life to practice, you know? You know, and then that was so not available to receive because of that conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you would say things, and I've heard you say before about having a passion for practice, and even that, like, oh, I want to, I try to, and there, it was there all along, you know, so it's really very much like those veils.
Yeah, and, yeah, because the conversation keeps you from feeling it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, what occurred when you were talking about that, and along with the holiday, you know, a lot of people, holiday is coming, people are coming over, and so they're going to clean the house from top to bottom, and they're going to shop, and they're going to... You know, they're going to do all of, they're going to make all these plans, and there's all this excitement, and there's all this. Well, what if we approached every day like that? With this place, what would the energy of this place be if people approached it like that? People are coming. They're coming. We can feel it. They're coming. I'm going to make sure the food is just right and make sure everything is just perfect. Now, why do we want to do that? Well, part of it, I guess, is so they'll think well of me. Right? That's why I clean up my house and I try to cook good food and all that stuff, which, by the way, I don't do. But part of it is because of who's coming. Uh-huh. Right? It's not just... So, yes, I want them to think well of me, but the point is, I want them to think well of me. So I want to do everything I can to give them the most wonderful experience so that they will... Well, if I practice, there's no ego, and I practice...
What was that?
There's no ego. Oh, if there's no ego and I practice, then I want them to think well of me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show up the very best way I can show up, so that people will have the very best view they can have of practice.
Yeah.
So when they walk onto the property, they go, this is extraordinary. Uh-huh. And when they leave, it's like, oh, wow. I mean, I never wanted to leave that place.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never experienced anything like that.
And the pleasure that comes from, ooh, that we get to receive. And it's not, you know, it's not a content thing, you know, it's such the process of resonance of life.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's where we're coming from.
Yeah.
This is what's possible. This is what it feels like when we're here.
Yes.
When a person is here, this is what it feels like.
Hmm.
People are around that, they feel that.
Yeah. And somehow it multiplies exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly,
so we get to all intensely feel it in that way.
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's,
you know what else just dropped in? I just love it that these dogs are old.
I know.
Now they can just hang out. Right? They used to run off.
And they don't.
They don't.
They used to get Susan's cat food, remember? They go all the way up to Susan's house. They knew what time the cats were going to
Right. Yeah.
I know. They just like, you can trust me.
It's just right there.
Yeah, it's right there. It's like, go anywhere? No, I don't think so. They'll be out for a while.
Yeah.
I'll get up
and look around and scout and patrol, make sure everything's okay, and then I'll
take another nap.
Like a security guard does, you know.
And then they kind of look at you like, when you're going somewhere, this is what I project onto Sadie anyway.
Is it worth it?
Exactly. How far are you going?
Good?
How long are you going to be gone for?
Yeah. Is there food? Because
there's
not.
Well, just after lunch, Pache was kind of out behind the kids doing, you know, kind of doing his soul patrol thing. And I was like, come on back to the porch, you know, because and he was looking at me like, calm down. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, they probably don't even need a yard anymore. Right? Yeah, I don't think they need a yard. And when their next young monk comes along, young dog monk is going to be trained to do this.
Yes.
Not we wait 13 years until it's old, they can't stagger around any longer.
The only reason for the dog...
Start out that way.
Yeah, the only reason for the dog yard might be for Francis's peace of mind, because every now and then Pache will give him a little run for his money.
Well, it's good for him. They can all use exercise at that age. Yeah. All right, anyway, we get the feel, huh?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Right.
Can I just say something I saw in that conversation that was really, really helpful, is... it was the piece around, people are coming, you know, and just that. And what I saw was, and this is so pertinent this time of year, you know, that place where people seem to be meanest to the people who are closest to them.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just saw...
Well, to the point, as we were talking about earlier, that people aren't getting together for holidays.
Right.
Because it's so just
hideous.
Yeah, out there, unpleasant.
Yeah, boy. And so I just had the image as you were saying that of really the gift of bringing that attitude of mind to every day, to oneself and the people that one is closest to. They're coming.
Yeah.
They're coming in from their hermitages.
Right? No. Don't be here for
because you know sometimes I drop into that place and I do want to make deep gusho to people in the morning, you know, and then I think, well, that might be an infringement on their privileged environment if I'm so what are you doing, Jen? I don't know, just that I certainly feel it when I come back onto the property and talk about the dogs. That is one of the huge gifts I project Sadie brings, is she recognizes everyone and she knows when people have been gone. It's amazing. So if someone's been gone off the property for a week, she's so excited when they come back. Whoever it is.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But I just really saw that, yeah.
Well, when you were saying, you know, the next big thing that happens for us is going to be the New Year's retreat.
Yeah.
Right? And we all feel that way about the New Year's retreat.
Yeah.
Why not all the time?
Why not all the time?
Because it's no different.
No. It isn't.
People are there.
And, you know,
we get together, we meditate,
exactly. It's so true, Sherry. It's back to the humans have an infinite ability to take things for granted. I know these people. I see these people every day.
Yeah.
You know, these are the same people.
Yeah.
The same.
We need new people.
It's the mind.
If that's true.
They could wear different stuff.
Right. If it's true that we need new people, then we want to become a magnet for new people, which is true. I mean, we have more visiting monks and, you know, people leaving their other obligations and coming and being with us. Mm-hmm. And we always say that, you know, what a thrill it is for us when people come here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, it does.
Yeah.
It is easy to fall into that. Oof.
Yeah.
Another day, just like yesterday.
Yeah. You know what? A couple of things as you say that. One, I remember the experience. We don't do it anymore, but we used to pick people up at the BART station. And that experience, especially with folks who were coming in, like a retreat where it was mostly people who'd never been here before, and driving through that gate, and it's like, I've never been here before. Suddenly you're able to see it in a way that, even though I'm, you know, nothing's changed for me, but somehow that projection mm-hmm. carries us into that new place. Mm-hmm. And the other one was recently, it just dropped in. I took a video of my hermitage and walking down into it and all the different gifts of it and all the different, mm-hmm. it was so fun to watch it.
This is a great place.
Yes, exactly. Like, oh,
I'd like to live there. Oh, I do.
You know, I do that sometimes. Like, I'll leave a light on when I have to go out, you know, to get wood or something. And I look in, I want to live in that place. You know, just that kind of, that sense of, I think someone else was saying this, but yes, that thing of looking back at one's life, to get that disidentified step back really fosters that gratitude. Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, of course, I'm going to say recording and listening at this point, because there's just nothing like that. Yeah. I mean, maybe making videos, that's a very fun idea, mm-hmm. Making videos of your life, just so you really get a sense that, this is really good. Like, I live in a house, you know, not a cardboard shack that was thrown together somewhere, and you know, I actually have enough clothes that they need to be in a place.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I have ways to, you know, fix food, and there's food, there's the refrigerator, there's the food in the refrigerator. Yeah. Because all of those things,
so
that, with that
so
infinite
true.
Ability to take things for granted,
we
really do lose sight of
what
an that every day, that same every day. Is an extraordinary day.
It's extraordinary.
So it's kind of like Groundhog Day.
Yes.
And what he finally got to of, you know, just really make the most of it.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same day over and
over
and over. So
let's
make the most of
and
it.
And then, of course, the minute you realize that, it isn't ever the same day for one single second.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are those documentaries, like whatever that one was called, about the monastery and the whatever that was. I mean, just for 2 seconds.
You remember that
meaningful documentary. But
something about silence or something.
Yeah, integrate silence. That's what it was. But just even think about me. Just start at the gate and come down with your video camera, just even in your mind,
mm-hmm.
and start to talk about this place.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. Now, I don't have a watch or a phone or anything else, so...
26.
I don't know. I have no idea when we started, how long we've been here. Is it before the beginning of the
year?
I didn't have the recorder.
I have no idea. Anybody else have anything? No, we're good.
Oh, anything to say?
Anything to say? Anything else to do? No, really, I'm just here. That was a quick question.
A very quick thing. I can't help you out with what time we came in here or anything like that.
But not a clue.
I was going to say that a few times I got the chance to be in the role of the person standing by the big pine as people are coming in for a retreat, and it's one of my favorite things ever. Just when you hear the sound of tire on gravel and there's a... The person coming. It's that, like, the triumph of the human spirit, like, especially if it's felt something like a practice weekend where that person probably in the morning has been at work and then has got in a car and come here, and that's what they've chosen to do for the weekend. And it's like just that bowing to whatever, like, what's got them here and they're getting here and whatever they've gone beyond to get in the car and get here, and it's just like you can't gush so, you know, deeply enough, but it's that.
Well, and what I just saw when you said that is, I think it's kind of what we're talking about here. That which they are seeking is causing them to seek.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And got them past all of the resistance that we know exists to doing anything like this. And I project that's what you're feeling.
Yes.
Because that's such a demonstration of that, much more tangible or palpable or whatever the would be than when we have the experience inside ourselves.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's like that which they are seeking has got them in the car and packed and in the car and all the way here, and they're coming through the gate, and you can hear them just
Yeah,
coming slowly
and it's that
down
it's
the road.
That willingness
yes.
and that that desire
yes.
to end suffering and all of that that moves and motivates us.
Hmm.
There they are, the personification of that.
Exactly.
Of
all the things they could be doing for a weekend, all the places they could be, they
mm-hmm. just
to
be
come here.
Here
and I are.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that's really good. Thank you, Anna.
I don't know if I can say this, but when I was listening to that, it's like that's the push to be present every moment. You know, that very same thing, it's like that what's causing me to seek is that I'm saying it right? What I'm seeking is like the push. You know, and it,
yes.
Okay, and fall off to identification, and then it's like, no, push, you know, because it's the that's the passion, you know. I think that's and it's there every minute, because whatever got me here gets me out of bed, gets me going, gets me doing all the
mm-hmm.
commitments, gets me
mm-hmm.
practicing because that loves it, and I. You know,
it's funny because we talk about that which is causing it that which you're seeking is causing you to seek. It sounds kind of passive, but our experience of it, as you're saying, is it's sometimes like dragged back up onto the path. Kind of given
everything,
a shove along the.
Yeah, it can become all different forms.
That's what you're seeking.
Yeah.
Now get going.
Or here I am. Look at me. You know, it says.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, you know, it's great.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it
really
is.
It really is.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of this beautiful day, huh? Mm-hmm. Now, I hope you're going to do that. Just enjoy
yes.
the rest of this beautiful day. Okay. Good. We did the dishes.